This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are in our series entitled Destined to Win. This is part 5 of our series, and I believe it's going to be the last part of our series. The second, our foundational text is 2 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, and the 14th verse. The first part of the 14th verse says, "Now thanks be unto God, which not sometimes, but what class, always causes us to triumph," where? In Christ. So we know that if we do things God's way, we will get God results in our lives. Because of what Jesus did for us on Calvary, we are called to conquer and we are destined to win. Everybody repeat after me. Say, I'm called to conquer and I'm destined to win. All right. And so today's topic, I really want to talk to you from the subject of deepening your relationship with God, deepening your relationship with God. God wants more than anything for you to deepen your relationship with him. He wants to walk with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants to help you. He wants to give you the wisdom you need and the insight you need for your everyday life. When we look through the scripture, Exodus 33:11 teaches us that the Lord would speak to Moses, watch this, face to face as a man speaks with his what? With his friend, all right? I thought that was amazing. And actually, the Bible tells us that Jesus actually calls us friend. John the 15th chapter and the 15th verse says, "No longer I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you." And so you've got to understand that when we give our lives to Christ, our spirit man becomes alive to Christ, and now we become friends with God. And God wants us to have a relationship. How many know it's important that we talk to Jesus every day? You got it? That we make time for devotions, that we make time if we can to get on the prayer call, that we're making sure that we're feeding our spiritual man, you got it, and not just our carnal man, all right? You know, like if you eat breakfast at, let's say, 8 o'clock in the morning, I don't know about you, but around 12, 1 o'clock, a lot of us are going to be ready to eat again. Isn't that right? Why? Because our natural man says, hey, it's time to feed me. Well, but the thing is, you don't realize it the way the spirit man works, because it doesn't work exactly like the natural man works. So the natural man starts getting hunger pains. You got it. And so, you know, like it's time, you know, but what happens is the spirit man wants to be fed. Watch this. And the enemy will try to work overtime to cause all these things to come at you, to make you feel depressed and to make you feel down and those kind of things. Watch this. But to the degree we continually feed our spirit man, we'll get stronger and stronger and stronger. All right. And so there was a devotion that I read and it says the most important aspect of Christianity is not the work we do. Now, don't judge it before you listen to the whole thing. But the relationship we maintain with God and the surrounding influence and qualities produced by that relationship. I talked to you last week that people are to get the overflow of our relationship with God. And so that's the most important thing, that I have a relationship with God and that there's something produced out of that relationship with God. It says that is all God asks us to give our attention to, and it's the one thing that is continually under attack. 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse, it says, "Whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are face to face. Then suddenly, they suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone." In other words, God is real. And he wants to have a real relationship with you, all right? And you can't look at God as being somebody that's just far away, that's so super powerful that he created the universe, that he's not thinking about you. No, God is thinking about you. God is concerned about you. God is concerned about the things that concern you, and God is with you. So even in your loneliest moment, you're not really lonely because Jesus is right there with you, all right? But you have to know that for yourself. Does that make sense? All right? So it says, suddenly, they suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence. So we know he's real, but not only is he real, he's personal. And he wants to have a personal relationship with you, all right? He's not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation, the law, is recognized as obsolete, all right? So when Jesus died and shed his blood, all right, the Bible said that the veil was rent from the top to the bottom, and now you and I have direct access to the Father. We don't need a priest to go on our behalf, but the moment you need to talk to the Father, all you have to do is just say, Lord, you understand? Like, and you can talk to him immediately. And so you've got to understand, and you can have a direct relationship with God where you can talk to him. And let me help you, he wants you to talk to him. And if you're not careful, then it doesn't make you a bad person. Doesn't mean you did anything wrong. If you're not careful, you won't be cognizant of that, and you'll be going through things and not talking to him. Does that make sense? I'm not going to ask you who've done it. Most of us have done it, went through something happened. We called on everybody, but we didn't call on Jesus. And he's the one that can help us most. Does that make sense? All right. He says, we're free of it, all of us. Nothing between us and God. Our faces shining with the brightness of his face, and so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah. Our lives, watch this, gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. And so the key to our lives getting brighter and more beautiful, watch this, is us deepening our relationship with God and us becoming more and more like him. It doesn't matter what's going on in culture. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It's getting darker and darker. Right. But watch this. We are the light of the world. You got it. And so as the world gets darker and darker, the children of the king are supposed to get brighter and brighter. So even though there's all kind of chaos in the world, there's not supposed to be chaos in our lives. Even though there's confusion in the world, there's not supposed to be confusion in our lives to the degree we deepen our relationship with God. Does that make sense? All right. So I'm going to talk for the next few minutes about what we need as we deepen our relationship with God. What we need as we deepen our relationship with God. And it's really my prayer that you really hear, Pastor, but not just hear the word, that you apply it. Because if you apply the word, you can really get results in your life. All right. I talked to you last week about discipline and how discipline turns into desire. Right. Like initially, let's just say you want to start working out and you haven't worked out for a long time or maybe ever. Man, when you first start working out, that don't work out. Right? Yeah. I mean, and so, maybe you even get a friend who, runs or a personal trainer. So we just going to run a mile. A mile don't seem like a long ways. In the city, they say a mile is six city blocks, right? And so it doesn't seem like a lot. You're all excited. You get out there, man, about a quarter of a mile, you huffing and puffing. Why? Because you haven't done that. You got it? But watch this. The more you discipline yourself to keep doing it and keep doing it, you hit a quarter mile, it's no problem. You hit a half mile, like, okay, I'm doing this. You get to the point where a mile's not bad. You can do a little bit more than a mile. Watch this. But initially, you got to wake up and make yourself do it, because you did it Monday and you don't feel like doing it Tuesday. You say, no, we're going to do Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But I got an appointment on Wednesday, so we're going to do Friday this week, right? If you're not careful, you'll make all these excuses. But watch this. If you stick to it and discipline yourself, the more you do it and the more you do it and you start doing it consistently, to the degree if you stop doing it one day, you almost miss it, because it's a discipline that has now turned into a desire. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so what happens is, hey, man, that's a good place to clap. Now, don't patty cake. So what the thing is, just initially reading your Bible, there's not always joy. You got it. Initially, just getting on the prayer call, the enemy will try to tell you everything else you can do. You understand what I'm saying? And those kind of things. But watch this. If you would discipline yourself, no, I don't care what's going on, I'm going to get on that prayer call. I don't care what's going on, I'm going to read a devotion. You got it? I don't care what's going on, I'm going to read a psalm or I'm going to read a proverb. If you do that, you got it? And you do that a few weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and then watch this. It becomes a routine and you're getting something, because what people have to realize is that the word is quick and it's sharp and it's powerful and it's alive. And the more you get into the word, the more it builds you up, right? And so to the degree that if you stop or you slow down doing it, if you have a week where you had to go and work earlier and those kind of things, like, oh man, I missed my time with God. I missed my time in the word, because discipline becomes desire, all right? So we need, as we deepen our relationship with God, I've got three things. You already know I'm a three-point preacher. Everybody say, number one, we need power, not just words. We need power, not just words. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and the fourth verse, the writer says, Paul says, as he's writing to the church at Corinth, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. He says, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Of whose power? The Spirit's power, right? So this is not man trying to make something happen. Right? And you have to just be careful about that. You know, I've never believed in that. Anytime the Spirit of God moves in this place, it's because the Spirit of God is moving and pastor's not trying to make something happen. You got it? And sometimes the Spirit of God moves when we're picking them up and putting them down. Sometimes the Spirit of God moves when we're just in worship. You got it? The Spirit of God moves different ways, so you have to be open to however the Spirit of God wants to move. Can I get up? He says that your faith might not rest in Pastor James's wisdom, but that your faith might rest in God's power. And so every time I stand, I always pray that the Holy Spirit is going to communicate whatever I'm going to teach to you in a way that it's going to meet your spiritual needs. That as I'm teaching, and a lot of stuff comes up that I didn't even study, but I believe that it's what the Holy Spirit wants for you and for your life. I believe that every time I teach, the Holy Spirit is knocking on the door of your heart in some area. Hey, you need to listen to this. Make sure you do that. You got it? The key to his power, though, is his presence. The key to his power is his presence. It's my consistent prayer that you feel the presence of God every time you come up on this campus, and that little by little your life keeps getting better and better. Does that make sense? And that's what it's really all about. And so we need his power and not just words. And so, pastor, when he's speaking, you got it. Watch this. I'm giving you the word of life. You got it. The power is in the word. Truth is the word. You got it. And so to the degree I'm giving you the word of God and that you're receiving it with gladness, right? And that, watch this, and that you're taking the word by faith and saying, hey, I'm going to apply this word right away. Because you know the enemy doesn't want you to apply the word right away. Isn't that right? Yeah, the enemy wants you to, you know, say, I'm going to wait. I get to it Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. And what happens is the enemy is going to immediately try to steal the seed that has been sown. You got it. Dr. Jerry Savelle passed away, a great man of God, and I was listening to one of his last lessons that he taught. I've listened to it two or three times, and now old school preachers, they preach a long time. That lesson was like an hour and 34 minutes, right? And so, but I told Lady, I said, I had to really get my brain right for an hour and 34 minute lesson. I said, but there was so much in it. And so he told this story. And so the first time I tell somebody's story, I give them the credit. After that, I just, you know, tell you I heard someone say it. And then the third time, it's my story, okay? And so he was explaining how Jesus was talking about the parable of the sower and how the enemy immediately comes to steal the seed that has been sown into our lives. And he was talking about how his wife loves to work in the flower beds. He hates working in flower beds, you got it? And he doesn't understand how she could spend all day with them little small shovels and trying to dig up, you know, all the old weeds and everything. And the reason it takes a while, you got it, is because the roots, you got it, are down and they're deep and you have to really work to get all that stuff out. Well, see, that is why you have to allow the word of God to get in you and to take root, so that way the enemy can't immediately steal the seed that's been sown. Because if the word of God is rooted on the inside of me, watch this now, the enemy tries to, you know, steal it and go away and say, oh, I can't do it. Why? Because the word is rooted on the inside of me. Does that make sense? All right. Next time I heard somebody say it, all right. Third time it's mine. Okay. Everybody say number two. Number two, we need an encounter and not just an explanation. We need an encounter and not just an explanation. John, the 9th chapter and the 16th verse. I love this story. And basically, Jesus heals a kid who's been blind. Or I say a kid. He's a man who's been blind. And, you know, the Pharisees, Sadducees, the religious people, they were always trying to get on Jesus. If he did it on the Sabbath, why would you do it on the Sabbath? And those kind of things. And so he heals this blind man. And immediately the Pharisees are trying to get Jesus. John, the 9th chapter, the 16th verse says, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, which is a good question, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Okay, watch this, verse 17. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It is, watch this. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, man, it's real simple. He's a prophet. You got it. That's real easy, right? Verse 18, they still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. So now they want to prove that Jesus really healed him, right? And verse 19, they say, is this your son, they asked? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? Verse 20, they said, we know he is our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. Verse 21, but how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Watch what they said. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself. Why did they say that? Verse 22 tells us. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. And so they had to kind of dance around it. He's of age. Ask him. He can speak for himself. I don't know about you. I think last night at the gala, maybe it was Benita Simmons that said, you know, I'm so glad that we live in a country where we can express Jesus and nobody's coming after us or those kind of things. Thank God we can have our own church and our own church services and nobody's coming through the door with guns and those kind of things. There are people in other countries who can't do that. So thank God for the freedom that we have. Amen. Watch this. All right. Verse 24. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Watch this. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. All right. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. Everybody say, I do not know. But one thing I do know, he said, I don't know about all that other stuff, but I can tell you that I don't have an explanation because I've had an encounter with Jesus. And all I know is I once was blind and now I see. You got it? That's all I know. I'm not fussing with you about the Bible. I'm not fussing with you about tithing. I'm not fussing about you, him being a healer because I have had an encounter with God for myself. All I know is I used to be a mess, but he's brought me a mighty long way. All I know is there's some things that the enemy has tried to attack me with, but God's healed me every single time. All I know is if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, there's no telling where I would be. Clap your hands, all you people. And so we need an encounter with God, and an encounter with God makes all the difference. My father, Bishop MacIver, when I was a little boy, I remember him teaching that a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. So I'm not going to argue. As a matter of fact, Paul teaches us not to argue with people as it relates to the doctrine that you've learned. Don't try to do that, because if you're not careful, you'll get so emotional, and they start twisting you up, you understand? And like, you know the truth, and now you get mad, and you want to attack. Don't do all that. You got it, you have to have an experience and an encounter for yourself. And to the degree I keep deepening my relationship with God and deepening my relationship with God, I keep having encounters with God over and over and over, because I bet every person in this room can say God is good. You can look at your life and see that, man, God has helped me over here. God's done something for me over here. Yeah, I've been through some situations that I didn't want to go through, but he was right there with me, helping me, comforting me, leading me, and guiding me. And to the degree, watch this, I keep deepening my relationship with him. Watch this now. I will see him do more and more in my life. I believe that God wants to do more and more. You got it. I really do. I believe because he's the God of more than enough. You got it. And you have to start releasing your faith for more. You got it. For more of everything that you're believing for. You got it. You got it. For more incredible relationships. You got it. For more increase in your life. For more favor in your life. Whatever you expect, you're going to experience. And so to the degree that you expect that this is going to be my year of plenty. You understand what I'm saying? You know, if you expect it, then you'll experience it, all right? And so number one, we said that we need power, not just words. Number two, we says we need an encounter and not just an explanation, all right? Now we're going to go to number three. Y'all getting anything out of this?
Yes.
We need presence, not just practice. We need presence, not just practice. Romans, the 8th chapter and the 11th verse says, it stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life. Now, before I go to that, if we're not careful, we read the scripture too fast. I want to show you how I read the scripture, all right? Because there's nothing wrong with the way I read it, but it says it stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus, and I keep going, but I need to stop and realize that God is alive and that he's present. So no matter what I'm going through, God is alive and he's present. Things might be a little tough for you, but I want you to know God is alive and he's present and he's going to get you through whatever you're going through. And so when you read the scripture, make sure you take the time, you got it, and even ask the Holy Spirit to cause those things to come off the page or off the screen. So that way, I'm excited about getting to the part that he raised Jesus from the dead and that he, and I'm excited about that. But I need to also be excited that right now, God is alive and he's present in my life. Does that make sense? All right. Into your life. Well, let me just start over. Let's read from the top. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does as surely as he did in Jesus, all right? So God is, if you've accepted Jesus into your heart, God is in you. Yeah, right. Well, I don't feel nothing. I don't care about what you feel. He's in you, and he wants to help you. Does that make sense? You watch this. You are delivered from that dead life. Watch this. With his spirit living in you, you're watch this, your body will be as alive as Christ. So I told you the moment that we get saved, our spirit man becomes alive to Christ, all right? What happens? We are changed, we are transformed, we are energized, we are strengthened because his presence is on the inside of us. So when I receive Jesus, I receive everything he, all of who he is and everything that comes with him. You got it? So if he is our peace, then that means peace is on the inside. You got it. He's my joy, so joy's on the inside. You got it. The healer lives on the inside. Does that make sense? And that's why when I need something, I go right to Jesus. You got it. I go right to the Lord. I don't have to call. And nothing wrong with calling people. We need that. Y'all know I believe in all that. But I believe that the first thing I need to do is go to Jesus. Right? So when the Spirit of God is alive in me, watch this, it can't help but get off of me and to get on other people. So even when you're talking to some of your family on the phone, you know, maybe saved or not saved, they'll know, man, there's something about them. You got, because I know they go through like everybody else go through. You got it? But what's the difference? It's the spirit of victory. You got it. You know, when I say the spirit of faith, that's what the spirit of faith is. The spirit of faith is the spirit of victory. I remember when Jay had first went to boot camp. Now, Jay's 2.5 years into the military. He's doing amazing. You got it. I mean, you know, God did the whole exceedingly abundantly far above all I can ask or think. You got it? Because I'm like, Lord, let him make it through boot camp. Let him do okay. You understand? He's at the headquarters working with the commanding general, right? Getting all kind of promotions and stuff. Amen. And so, but what happened is when he was in boot camp, and I had been in Marine Corps boot camp. He was in Navy boot camp, and they're kind of, you know, similar. And so I can hear all the Marines right now. Okay, I said kind of similar. Okay. Okay, when I was young, I was just like, yeah, Marine Corps, rah, rah, and I still love the Marine Corps, but I actually appreciate every branch of the uniform military service, amen? But I don't care what branch it is, if you've never been to any old kind of boot camp, any boot camp is like, whoa. See, because, you know, Marines, we don't realize till after we get out of that hell what we went through. Praise the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Then we realized, man, I should have went. No, anyways. So I'm writing Jay. Watch this. And when I'm writing him, I'm writing, hey, bud, by now these things might be going on. This might be happening. You got it? And then I tell him how much we're proud of him and those kind of things. I didn't tell him too much about what was going on here because I didn't want him to miss what was going on here like he thought something was happening, you know, and those kind of things. You know, now his mama would send him all the NBA stuff and what's going on, and him and all of his, you know, friends love that on their free time. But at the end, I would tell him, remember, son, if you stay in the fight, you're going to win. If you keep swinging, you're going to hit something. Jay, never forget that the spirit of victory lives on the inside of you, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So we have to understand that the spirit of victory lives in us. You got it? I mean, the spirit of victory lives in you. You got it? That is why weapons may form, but they won't prosper. That is why you might bend, but you will not break. That if you've given your life to Jesus, the spirit of victory lives. Watch this. The winning spirit already exists on the inside of you. You got it? And so that doesn't mean things don't get tough, but even when they're tough, Father, I thank you. The spirit of victory lives on the inside of me. You got it? Watch this. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who loves me. You understand? I know that I'm going to make it. God is with me, and I cannot fail. God is with me, and God is greater because the spirit of victory lives on the inside of you. He lives on the inside of you. All right. What do we gain as we deepen our relationship with God? I think we're going to go home on this. I'm not going to give you all my scripture, but I'm just going to show you three things that we gain as we deepen our relationship. And this is why you need to start today. And I'm not saying you're not saved. Don't take that the wrong way. But everybody, including pastor, can deepen their relationship with God. You got it? Because normally I listen to 45-minute lessons. This past week, I've been listening to hour-and-a-half lessons. I'm deepening my relationship with God. What do we gain? Number one, we gain a new strength. As I deepen my relationship with God, it makes me stronger. And so it doesn't mean obstacles won't come, but it means that I can handle them. You got it. It's a new strength. And then I gain a new identity. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new in my life. And then I gain a new joy. So I gain a new strength, I gain a new identity, and I gain a new joy. David said, you will show me the path of life. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there's pleasure forevermore. So this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. I want you to do something this week that you haven't been doing. And that's up to you, whatever it is. Whether it's just reading a psalm, you know, once a day, or maybe you haven't been getting on the prayer call, maybe you have the ability to, you know, we're only on there for about 15 minutes, you know, and if you can only get on for 10 minutes, get on for 10 minutes, right? And then, or go pick you up a devotional, you got it? We have the 365-year Bible. We've got the confession book that's online now. You can just go and click, but I want you to do something this week, every day, that you haven't been doing before, and watch how it helps you. If you do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, by the time you get to the weekend, you're going to realize, man, that little thing that I was doing that only took 10 minutes or 15 minutes actually helped me. And what you have to understand is you're gaining strength, and you keep gaining strength. So the next time the enemy tries to come against you, you got it. You say, oh, no, I'm stronger than that. The spirit of victory lives on the inside of me. And watch this. Not only am I going to get through it, but I'm going to get through it victoriously. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. Father, we thank you for the harvest and that none of the harvest is lost in Jesus' name. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and believers are praying all over the building, if you're in the room and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, if you're online and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me, and I know he'll be the best thing to ever happen to you. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10 and 9 that if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. All that means is you have to believe that God sent his only son Jesus to die for you, and that you need him in your life to the degree that you're willing to repent of your sins. And listen, that word repent is not a hard word. It's a very easy word. It's a change of mind and a change of direction. Maybe I was going on the wrong road, thinking the wrong way, but I came to the knowledge of his love, and I decided I don't want to live that life. I want to live the life he created for me. And so if you don't know Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer with us. If you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, I want you to pray this prayer. If you're a Christian in the room or online and you just need to repent about something, I want you to pray this prayer. I'm actually going to ask everyone to pray this prayer with me, because it's going to help the person next to you that really needs to pray this prayer. So let's pray it together as a family. Repeat after me. Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil word. Tell him you have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Now, Father, we thank you for what you've done. We seal it now to the day of redemption. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand praise?